Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. We welcome you to our program today, and it is the interview segment of our spiritual breakfast. The date today is the 21st of Rajab 1446, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 21st of January 2025. Alhamdulillah, today our topic with Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman is going to be about Tawbah. And Tawbah, as you know, as we just, Mufti Sahib will come on now in a few moments and join us. Tawbah, and this is mentioned, if you go Riyadu Salihin, most, many people have this compilation, a remarkable compilation, and it is of Allama Nawawi Rahimullah at the age of 45, passed away, and so much of work Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken from him. He mentions, and this is just chapter 2 in his kitab, a beautiful compilation. He says, قَالَ الْعُلَمَا, the ulama have mentioned, التَّوْبَةُ وَاجِبَةٌ مِّن كُلِّ ذَنْبٍ, the tawbah is compulsory from every sin. فَإِنْ كَانَتِ الْمَعْسِيَةُ بَيْنَ الْعَبْدِ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لَا تَتَعَلَّقُ بِحَقِّ آدْمِيٍ فَلَهَا ثَلَاثَةُ شُرُوطٍ. If this crime, it was between a slave and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there are three conditions. أَحَدُهَا, a yuqli an al-ma'siya, the first one is that he totally removes himself from that sin. So there, you have to remove yourself from sin. You can't go into sin. You can't go into a bar and say, you know what, I'm not going to drink. You have to remove yourself from that place, that which is calling you, that which is urging you, those people who are going to put you into that mode. And if it is peer pressure, you have to get out of those circles too, because you will never ever be able to quit it until you don't, you yourself exit from those places. Secondly, أَيَّنْدَمَ عَلَىٰ فَعْلِهَا, to have that remorse, regret over that crime perpetrated. وَالثَّالِثُ أَيَّعْزِمَ أَلَّا يَعُودَ إِلَيْهَا أَبَدًا, you make this firm intention that you're never ever going to return back to that sin. I'm never ever going to return back to that vape. I'm never ever going to return back to that pill. I'm never ever going to return back to speaking to that female. Today is D-Day. I'm going to send a message, done. I'm no more. I'm deleting. I don't even need to send a message. But kindness, I'll say, I'm taking on a new pathway. I'm no more speaking to you for the pleasure of Allah. It is haram and I'm not going to go into it. But when you're putting yourself into these conditions, you are saying, you know what, I'm going to university, Lif Club. What happens in the Lif Club? Oh, that person's going to that university, take my daughter also. And then guess what? Sometimes it happens that it is not even a Muslim. And what happens then? Cases have come about where a Hindu marries a Muslim. And not because he changed. She don't want to hear anything about Islam. So these are incidents that we must be aware of. So never to return back to that action. And then فَإِنْ فُقِدَ أَحَدُ الثَّلَاثَةِ لَمْ تَسِحَّ تَوْبَتُهُ, if any one of these are absent, then that tawbah won't be, it won't be sahih, it won't be fulfilled. And if it's got to do with a person, then remember what you have to do is you have to go and return that item. You have to give that right back to that person, the option. If you have slandered someone, then you will have to say, okay, you can take retribution or you can do what you need to do, but or you can forgive me. So that's, and remember, tawbah from all sins, this is what is compulsory. You can't say, I'm going to make tawbah from some. So television, are we making tawbah from that? Or we feel that it's part of deen now. So let's speak to Mufti Sahib. Mufti Sahib, give us a small talk on tawbah, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. A small talk, huh? That's a topic that is too large in itself. And for it to do justice, it should be a long one. You should seek someone who's capable of doing it. There's a book by Kim Akhtar Saab Okay. The Fruits of Seeking Forgiveness. Excellent book. Okay. 36 pages? Yeah, 36 pages. It's not much. It can give you everything in there. But I'll try to do something right now for you. All right, starting from the beginning, huh? Shaitan, he made a mistake, huh? He didn't obey Allah. And although he had worshipped for so many years, thousands of years, he worshipped Allah. Allah, who threw him in, well, told him, I'm going to throw you in hell. He delayed when Iblis asked for an extension of time before he's thrown into hell. But he never asked for forgiveness. All right. He did something wrong. Allah acknowledged that he did something wrong, and he never apologized. And in fact, when he was told of his punishment, he said, he didn't say Mafid. He didn't say forgive my punishment. He said, delay it. So Allah agreed to that. Our mother and father, Adam alayhi salam and his wife, they made a mistake. They made one mistake, Allah threw them out of Jannah. But before he threw them out, as soon as they realized they made a mistake, they did tawbah. All right, since Surah Baqarah, the dua that they said. Okay. They asked for forgiveness. So then they will spend time, they spent time on earth. And when Qiyamah comes, they'll be returned back to Jannah. Okay, so you can see the difference from the beginning. Two different instances where a sin was committed. Okay, the first sin, Tawbah was not done. Just the sin was acknowledged and asked for a delay in the punishment. Second instance, as soon as the people realized that they did something wrong, they did Tawbah and Allah forgave them. So he said, well, that was only one sin, you know. So let's look at the man who, before Islam, or at least before Prophet Muhammad also, he killed 99 people. He was a murderer. And he felt some remorse. So he asked a person, can I get forgiveness? I killed 99 people. And the person said, no, there's no way you can get forgiveness. All right, you're too much of a sinner. So he killed that person to make it an even 100. Now he goes to an alim, a mulana, a mufti, okay, pious person, and says, is there any forgiveness for me? And he said, the mufti said, yeah. But what you got to do is, Allah will forgive you, but you got to leave this place. This place is not good for you. Right? There's a lot of other bad people that are here. All right? So you go to this next city over there, and inshallah, you'll be all right. So on his way to go to the new city, he died. Right? And the angels of the hellfire and the angels of Jannah, they argued over where we should take this person. So the angels of hellfire said, well, this guy killed 100 people. All right? So obviously we know where he's going. So the good angels, the angels of Jannah, said, well, wait a minute, he did Tawbah. All right? And he was on his way. You know, he's on his way to that new city and start a new life. So we got to look at that too, right? So Allah came in the middle and said, let's measure the distance. Is he closer to the land he was going to? Or was he closer to the land he was coming from? Closer to the land he was coming from, then we'll throw him in hell. If he's closer to the land that he was going to, we'll put him in Jannah. So they measured the distance and they found that he was closer to the land he was going to. And another narration of the hadith was that Allah made the earth shrink, made the earth get smaller, so that distance between the two was smaller. So it showed that he was more than 50% on the way there. And so Allah is Ghafoor, which is the forgiver, and he wants to show that he is the most Ghafoor. All right. So the Prophet said that we are all sinners. Okay. But the best of those are the ones who do the most istighfar. Okay. So istighfar will eliminate your sins and grant you higher stages in Jannah than those that didn't. As long as you die a believer, inshallah, you'll reach Jannah. But if you haven't done tawbah for your sins, you may have to spend some time in the hellfire. But if you've done the tawbah and Allah has forgiven you for it, and then you will go straight into Jannah, inshallah. So that's the importance of doing it, and doing it many times, because the hadith says the Prophet himself would say istighfar 100 times a day to him. Okay, he would pray a tahajjud, stand so long that his feet would swell up and bleed. And when his wife, our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, asked him, why are you exerting yourself so much when all your past and future sins are forgiven? So the Prophet says, shouldn't I be a grateful servant? So the Aba, the Ashra Mubashra, the 10 Sahabi who were given the glad tidings of paradise while they were alive, okay, and all those that fought at Badr, okay, Allah informed the Prophet who told those that fought at Badr, whatever you do now, you can do whatever you want, you're forgiven, okay? Whatever you do in the future, you're already forgiven. Okay? Now, those people, the Ashra Mubashra, those that fought at Badr, okay, none of them said, okay, I can chill now, all right, because Allah has forgiven me, and now I can do whatever, I can drink wine, I can do whatever I want, all right, chase the women, whatever. No. All of those people that were given that type of information, okay, they all tried their best to avoid sin. They constantly did istighfar. Doing istighfar is something that Allah likes, okay, and He rewards you for it. And so, but you have to do it to be sincere. Like, there's a condition. You do istighfar, and you put in your mind and your heart that you're not going to repeat the sins anymore. Okay? Hakim Akhtar Sahab, Rahmatullah Alayh, in his book, he mentions that Maulana's maybe saying, he was talking about, because he's speaking in front of, in the madrasa, but he's saying, Maulana, sometimes you're doing istighfar and you're looking at the women with lust, okay? And so your istighfar needs istighfar, okay? But you shouldn't be in that environment where naked women or women not dressed properly are around you. You should avoid those types of situations and do your istighfar. Don't be doing istighfar in the middle of the market and you're doing wrong by what you're looking and listening to music and this type of thing. Okay, so yeah, and you don't want to eat these actions, and sincerely in your heart you want to feel like that. And the second thing is to avoid places where you commit sin. If your sin is, like, for example, looking at the computer, looking at your smartphone, looking at the wrong sites, okay, with women on it, then you have to put your foot down on your nuts, all right? Control yourself and not go there anymore. Don't keep going back. But even if you do go back, say, okay, I did a Sifar, I did Tawbah, and I went back again. So I'll wait until, you know, 6 weeks, 6 months, and then if I don't go back anymore, then I'll start doing Tawbah again. No. Continue to do Tawbah. Allah can continue to forgive you. You do something 1,000 times, Allah can forgive you. Okay? Allah doesn't stop forgiving you until you stop asking for forgiveness. That is the key. Okay? So, Mawlana Tanbi Rahmatullah Alayhi Hakimu Umar, he mentions that his fortune engulfs man and it is caused by his actions. So, Mawlana says that it's an established fact. However, a natural trait in man is that he takes credit for the good and he puts blame on others for the mishaps. But Allah says in the Quran, all calamities that affect you are caused by your own doings. Okay, that's Surah Shura. And verse number 30. In Surah Nisa, Allah says, because of the wrongs of the Jews, and we just read this a couple of days ago, because of the wrongs of the Jews, we deprived them of the wholesome things that were initially permitted for them. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was treated so brutally by the residents of Taif, he left the town and went to the nearest spot of safety. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam supplicated to Allah with the words that are a lesson for the entire humanity. Among those words were the following: O Allah, if you are not displeased with me, then I do not care about the ill treatment that I have received. So what's the moral? The moral here is that in times of difficulty, one should expect the root cause to be of one's own misdeeds. Without this diagnosis, impossible to treat the problem. Man by nature is a sinner, but the best of these sinners are those who repent. And that is in Tirmidhi. To acknowledge this is a great feat. To acknowledge what? To acknowledge that you're a sinner is a great feat. Thawban radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed, sometimes a man is deprived of his sustenance, his risk, due to the sin that he commits. All right? You're having a problem with money. That's because of the sins that you're committing. Okay? If we view the present global economic crisis, now this was written 2008, okay, 16, 17 years ago. If we view the present global economic crisis as well as the alarming level of inflation in this light, we will actually be on our way towards eradicating this dilemma. The greatest barrier between man and the mercy of his creator is his sin. Since if he repents for this, there'll be no barrier any longer. Okay, what's blocking us between us and Allah is our sin. If we do tawbah, that eliminates the sin, and now there's no barrier. We can directly ask Allah and get, okay? Mawlana Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayh writes further, the real cure for every predicament is to refrain from sins and to seek pardon for the misdeeds of the past. Okay? Sheikh Jafar Sadiq Rahmatullah Alayh, a great sage, a great scholar of his age, he offered advice to Sufyan Thawri, Rahmatullah Alayh, all right, who was at the time, the same time as Abu Hanifa, Rahmatullah Alayh. He said, when your livelihood becomes constrained upon you, then beg Allah to forgive your sins. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given three assurances for the one who constantly begs Allah's forgiveness by repeating the words, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Just saying astaghfirullah, just say that. Allah will replace his worries with relief. Narrowness will be changed into ease, and Allah will provide substance for him through avenues from which he never anticipated. This is in Abu Dawood. The illustrious Tabi, this is my guy, Hassan Basri, rahmatullah alayh. How much do we love Hassan? He was seated among his students when a man came and complained to him of drought. Hassan Basri, rahmatullah alayh, advised him, recite astaghfirullah. Just say that. After some time, another man appeared and complained of lack of means. Okay? First guy came, there was drought. There's no rain. All right? Second guy comes, he don't have any money. Okay? Hassan said, rahmatullah alayh, gave him the same prescription. Say astaghfirullah. As he did with the third person came, all right, and complained he had no children. All right? So Hassan Basri, rahmatullah alayh, said the same thing. Say astaghfirullah. Upon this, the students remarked, oh, Sheikh, you gave the same advice to three different people. Each one had a different problem. But he replied, I did so in accordance to the guarantee. To the what? To the guarantee that Allah gave us in the Holy Quran. It says, beg the forgiveness of your Lord, for indeed he's most forgiving. He will then send down torrential rains, a lot of rain, upon you. So that's the solution for the drought, correct? He will increase your wealth. That's the answer for the financial constraint. And he will increase your children. And that was the cure for the person who was infertile. All right? This is a Surah Nur, okay? The 71st Surah, ayahs number 10 through 12. All right? So it was the constant habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to recite istighfar daily. This is in Sahih Bukhari. Some Sahaba reported that they heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam recite astaghfirullah up to 100 times in one gathering. The time for Muslims to repent on a global scale has dawned. Look what's happening in Gaza, Lebanon, Syria, etc. To do so is firstly the command of Allah. What is the command of Allah? Allah commands you to repent. All right. Secondly, it's the sunnah of our beloved Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And lastly, is the recipe for financial stability amid the global meltdown, as well as other problems that we have. Okay, so there is my little offer to you about Tawbah.
Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Sahib for those pieces of advice. And you know, the month of Shaban is next, and that is 15th of Shaban. But must we wait till then? What if we pass away before that? So that is the need of the time. And this is, there are so many benefits of Tawbah. So we need to turn to this, and Mufti Saab's advice fits in, and it is applicable for every one of us. Allah loves those. Inna Allah yuhibbu tawwabin. Allah loves those who turn to Him continuously. So we've come to the end of this program. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.